verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What a blessing that all of us, if you're born again, did those exact things. You confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believed in your heart on the person of Jesus Christ, and you were born again. And then Paul, here in verse 11, where we finished last week, he says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So God says it's a given that if you believed on Jesus Christ, if you're born again, you will not be ashamed. Verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So tonight, preach the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word in our lives tonight to teach us. We pray you'd guide us. We pray you'd be glorified. We give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So God says that we as God's children should not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his gospel, because of what he's done for us. Paul, remember in chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And neither should we be. In 2 Timothy 1:8, if you want to turn there quickly, God also there talks about how we should not be ashamed of God's testimony. Notice 2 Timothy 1:8. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." You and I have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." How can we be bold as a lion? Because, again, if God be for us, who can be against us? So there's no reason to be ashamed. We need to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Our passage, verse 12, he says, "There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him." There is nothing, no greater riches that you can ever receive than the gift of salvation. You can have all the money in the world and you'll still go to hell. You can have all the possessions in the world and you'll still go to hell. But if you have Jesus, you're rich. Amen. Not only do you have eternal life and the Holy Spirit and His Word here, but you'll have a home in heaven and eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do better than that when it comes to riches. And all that comes through Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Jesus makes us rich, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And then, of course, the great verse 13, a beautiful verse, a very abused verse, sadly. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a true statement. It's just some people take it and say that's all people need is verse 13 to get to heaven, and it's not. They need to understand sin. They need to understand the consequences of sin. They need to understand the person of Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. And they didn't understand that they must place their trust and faith in him to receive salvation, to call upon him, to be saved. It is for whosoever. Amen? Whosoever. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world in 1 John 2:2. Anyone can be saved. And we get to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22:17. Whosoever. Whosoever, it says, let him take the water of life freely. But I love this last bit here where Paul lays out the order of things, how they should go. And you have to start from the end to go backwards, of course. So here's God's order. God's people are sent. Amen? And they're sent to preach the gospel so that people will hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and then call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So again, you start at the end of verse 15, walk backwards. That is God's order. They're sent and they preach. So sent, isn't that a good one? Let's look at Acts 13, seeing an example of that from the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 13. But we're all sent. Amen. If you're born again, you're sent. Jesus already told you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But some are particularly sent to a particular place. We call them missionaries. But we're all sent. And here is where Paul and Barnabas, they were called of God to be missionaries, to be church planters. And it says in, we'll just start at verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So there's that word sent. And so the church at Antioch, they prayed. The Holy Spirit said, I want these two men to go, to leave this church and go elsewhere. And so they prayed over them. They laid hands on them and they said, go. We send you. We send you as representatives of our church, as representatives of Jesus Christ, to go and plant churches, which they did. And so that's God's order. People are sent, but they're sent for the express purpose of preaching the gospel so that people can be saved, churches planted, and then they're baptized and they grow in the Lord. But they have to be willing to go, isn't it? Isn't that where it comes down to? As they say, the rubber hits the road. If you go to John chapter 20, verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, and this was after the resurrection. After they had run and hid and finally accepted the fact that Jesus had come back from the dead and began to understand Calvary. And it says in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I. So here Jesus saying, I'm sending you. I told you to tarry at Jerusalem, which they did. And after that, I want you to go. Amen. I'm sending you, which is exactly what they did. They went all over the place to what? Preach the gospel of peace. Why would he call it the gospel of peace? Well, because if you go to Romans 5:1, the gospel brings peace. It brings peace between our Creator and man. Up until we are saved, there is no peace. We are separated. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. God gives us peace through the gospel. And then in Ephesians 6:15, if you want to turn there. Now, our gospel is also referred to as the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul mentions it in Acts 20:24. But here he's mentioning it as the gospel of peace. So we are sent to preach the gospel of peace so that man can have peace with his Creator. Amen. Ephesians 6, down verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of, there it is again, peace. The gospel of peace. And then if you would look at Colossians chapter 1, just over a couple pages from where you are. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Man is not going to find peace with God any other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to go. We need to be sent. We need to go. We need to preach. And preach what? The gospel of peace. Preach that your Creator loves you and wants to be reconciled to you, but you have to be willing to admit you're a sinner and that you don't deserve the gospel, and admit that God offers you a way through what He chose to do, which is to let His Son be the one who died in your place and then rose again from the dead. And if you will trust and believe what God did and ask Him to, He will save you from your sins, thereby bringing peace, eternal peace, if you will. Amen? Peace through the blood of His cross. So that's why He calls it the gospel of peace, and hopefully they will hear, they will believe, and then they will call. And that's that reverse order. If you look verse 15, we'll see it. So, except they be sent. So first they're sent, then backwards, how shall they preach except they be sent? So then they preach, and then the verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? So that when we preach, people hear. And then it says, in whom they've not believed. How shall they believe in whom they've not heard? So they hear and they believe. And then it says, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? Then they call. And that's Romans 12:10-13. Whosoever shall call. But people don't know to call, do they? Until they can believe. And they don't know to believe until they can hear. And they can't hear until they've heard the gospel of peace preached to them. And people need to be sent and do it. So this is God's simple plan. It's worked for 2,000 years. Amen. And we're all here tonight because of it. The simple plan of people going, preaching, and we hear and we believe and we call on the name of the Lord and find peace through the gospel of peace with our Creator. There's another passage that I forgot to write down the reference. It talks down about how He breaks down the middle wall of partition between us. Does anybody know where that is? I think it's in Ephesians, but I am standing here searching for it. If you've got a really good concordance, the middle wall of partition, maybe, if you can look that up for me. But that's what happens, is that wall is broken down, that wall of sin that divides us between us and our Creator, and that wall is broken down, thereby giving us peace with our Creator. Did anyone find it yet? It is Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Verse 14. He is our peace. So there's that word peace again. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What is that wall? That wall is sin. Sin separates us from God. And it has since the Garden of Eden. And when Jesus died on the cross, He broke it down. Amen? He tore that wall down. Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for in Himself twain to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making, and there it is again, peace. So Jesus Christ tore down that wall of sin. And if we will trust Him, we have peace with our Creator, which is why Paul is referring to it here as the gospel of peace that we need to preach to the lost so that they might find peace with their Creator, the God of heaven. Preach the gospel of peace. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now we just need to do it. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your word and for speaking to our hearts tonight. I pray we'll take it seriously and understand this huge responsibility that we have, Lord, to be sent and to preach the gospel of peace so that people might hear and believe and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I pray, Lord, You'll just continue to provide us those opportunities and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that we'll see people saved as a result. We love You in Jesus' name.